All right, Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. It's September 7th, 2023, and I wanted to talk about the nature and character of Jesus Christ. I've talked extensively about him as being God in the flesh. I've talked extensively about him as being the God to whom the prophets spoke directly face to face. Moses spoke with Jesus Christ face to face as a man speaks with his friend, because no man has seen the Father. And that's repeated over and over in the Gospel of John and in 1 John. Nobody's seen the Father. No one's seen the Father, guys. Nobody's seen the Father except the only begotten Son of God. He's seen the Father. So who did Moses talk to? Ezekiel 33, I think it's verse 11, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend." Well, since you got me going on this, let's just get into it. And then we'll go back to the other portion that I wanted to talk to. Jesus Christ is the Creator, and nobody has seen the Father. So this is John chapter 1. Verse 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time." All right, this is Jesus Christ. Nobody has seen God at any time. Well, who did Moses talk to? He talked to Jesus Christ. John 1:18, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." John 6, verse 46, "Not that anyone has seen the Father." This is Jesus. "Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father." All right? And then we have the great story of Jesus Christ with it's sort of his last hurrah with his disciples, John 14, 15, 16, 17. And Jesus is talking about the Father, and the disciples turn and look to him. He says, look, Jesus, you're being cryptic. Just show us the Father. And Jesus turns around and he looks at him and he said, "Hey, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. It's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for a long time and you have not come to know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say, I do not speak on my own, but the Father, as he remains in me, does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." All right? So the closest you and I are ever going to get to seeing the Father is seeing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was very clear. No man has seen the Father. But he says, the Father's in me. The Father's in me. So believe me, anybody that rejects Jesus Christ rejects God the Father. Here's Moses, Exodus chapter 3. He sees the burning bush, and out of the burning bush, a voice comes. It says, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Well, who was there? It was Jesus Christ, pre-incarnation. All right, and then we have Jacob, Genesis 32, verse 30. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." All right, so who did he see? He saw Jesus Christ pre-incarnation. This is the Alpha and the Omega. This is the beginning and the end. He's the source in origin of all things, and he's the purpose and destiny of all things. Colossians chapter 1 says this, "He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created." Who? By whom? By Jesus Christ, all things were created. All things have been created through him and for him. Who's the him? It's Jesus Christ. This is Colossians chapter 1. "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Verse 19, Colossians chapter 1. it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. And we'd say the same thing in Philippians. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God to be something to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Other translations say slave. We're going to get to that in a minute. Being born of the likeness of men, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. For this reason, God also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every other name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. All right? Hebrews chapter 1. God, after he spoke long ago in the fathers and in the prophets and in many portions and in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. God made the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the radiance. Jesus Christ is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. All right? Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the nature of God. All right? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things came into being through him, and apart from thing, from him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. Colossians 2:9, for in him all the fullness, in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. So who is this? Who did they see? They saw Jesus Christ pre-incarnation. Now, Jesus Christ took the form of a slave, obedient unto death. Now we need to go back and we need to look at some of the characteristics of Jesus Christ. I had some correspondence with a gentleman not long ago, and he said, I was spreading hate. I was spreading hate. God just loves everybody. I'm spreading hate. And I've come to the conclusion that most of the Christian church believes that, I don't know, that modern evangelicalism is some sort of offshoot of Buddhism or Taoism. God is in all and all is in God, and God loves and accepts us and them and everybody, and it's just about love and acceptance and diversity. And I reject that. I think the Word of God rejects that, and I wanted to cover that. Here we go. This is Luke chapter 16. Jesus Christ is talking. He said, nobody can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot. Many, many, many try to split the difference. God isn't a God to be shared. You're either going to serve Jesus Christ or you're going to serve money. You can't serve both. You can't baptize your money. You can't baptize your idolatry of money. So, oh yeah, I worship money, but you know what? I get the little Christian thing going on too. No. Can't. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, okay, the Pharisees are the Talmud people, okay? They're the leaders of the Talmud people. They propagated the traditions of men, the precepts of the elders. This becomes Judaism. They rejected the law. They rejected the prophets. Make no mistake about this. Jesus Christ taught this. Matthew chapter 15 is a perfect example of this. These Pharisees were not loyal to Moses. They were not loyal to the prophets. They murdered the prophets. They murdered Jesus Christ. They're blind guides. Okay, and they're going to fall into a pit, and everybody that follows these Pharisees will fall into the pit with them. The Pharisees of yesterday are the rabbis of today. Okay, they have loyalty to something other than Jesus Christ. And we just discussed who Jesus Christ is. When Moses... The Bible says in Ezekiel Exodus chapter 33, I think it's verse 11. Let's look that up. Exodus 33, verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. Well, wait a minute. Jesus Christ just said that no man has seen the Father. So who did Moses speak with? He spoke with Jesus Christ pre-incarnation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was already with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through Jesus Christ. So when the Lord speaks to Adam and Eve, it's Jesus Christ. When the Lord speaks to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend, it's Jesus Christ. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were scoffing at Jesus Christ. All right, this is something you see consistently throughout the Holy Scriptures. The leaders of the Talmud people utterly reject Jesus Christ. They're going to fall into a pit, and anybody that follows them will also fall into the pit. Some people try to make a distinction between Jesus Christ and the people, make a distinction between the Pharisees and those who call themselves Jews. And that's a distinction without a difference. They all rejected Jesus Christ, unless they didn't. And some didn't. And I've covered this in another podcast. Many, 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 if not most, if not the vast majority of modern people who call themselves Jews have absolutely nothing to do with the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. They're simply the offspring of people that converted to Judaism perhaps centuries ago, perhaps a millennium ago. There's an article in Wikipedia conversion to Judaism. Entire nations and ethnic groups have converted to Judaism that have nothing to do with Jacob renamed Israel. Nothing to do with him whatsoever. Including the Khazars, a European people, converted to the Talmudism. They had rabbis go in there to teach them the Talmud, and they said, we're gonna be the Talmud people. And today in 2023, there's people, all kinds of people walking around that have converted to the Talmud. They're Jews. Ivanka Trump, she converted to Judaism. All right, a German Christian background. She went the way of Judas Iscariot. As far as I'm concerned, she went the way of Judas Iscariot. You cannot love God and money. You cannot love God and money. You're either going to serve one or the other. You cannot do both. And the Pharisees are lovers of money, and they scoff at Jesus Christ. Okay, this word doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It never goes away. It applies in 2023 as much as it did 2,000 years ago. So Jesus has some words for him. He says in verse 17, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke or letter of the law. Okay, that's why I say nobody's going to reject the Ten Commandments. You do not reject the Ten Commandments in 2023. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ reemphasizes the Ten Commandments. Matthew 15, he reemphasizes the fifth commandment in particular. And honoring your father and mother is also honoring your ancestors. Don't despise your ancestors. Don't despise the race that God gave you. Honor your race. Protect your race. Okay, Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. Now, there was a rich man. It's my opinion that there actually was this rich man. This wasn't just a story that Jesus Christ made up. He's talking about a real person, both a rich man and the poor man. He's talking about somebody that was real, that was alive, that lived through this. And Jesus said, hey, let me tell you about these two people. This wasn't a fictional story he made up. The rich man, he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and he was longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom. Okay? He goes to heaven. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Okay? This is the red. This is what Jesus Christ is teaching. Jesus Christ is teaching this, not some mad right-wing fundamentalist preacher. This is Jesus Christ. And this is where I diverge strongly from the Taoist and Buddhist Christian. You've heard of Judeo-Christian? Well, how about a Buddhist Christian? Oh, God comes in many forms, and he loves and he accepts us all. We shouldn't be propagators of hate. All right, this is Jesus Christ talking about this dude. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He was being tormented or tortured in Hades. Who sent him to Hades? Jesus Christ did. He's the judge. Oh, God would never punish anybody. God so loved the whole world. He would never punish anybody. A rich man also died and he was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now, you know what tormented him even more? Let's keep going. And this man, he saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. They're doing good. And he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus. So he claims to be a descendant of Abraham. Guy claims to be a descendant of Abraham. Have mercy upon me and send Lazarus so he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. The rich man was burning and tortured in a flame in Hades. I think this is lost. I think this is lost on the church. This man was being tortured in a flame in hell and will be for all eternity. Again, this goes to the character of Jesus Christ, which is the character of God the Father. In Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the exact nature and representative of God the Father. They're not different gods. They're not different gods. They are not different gods. And this rich man, you say, well, how did he get rich? Maybe he inherited. Maybe it's not even his own fault. He's in hell being tortured and tormented in agony in the flame. Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he's being comforted here, and you are in agony. This is Jesus Christ teaching this. The agony of torment for eternity in a flame. This is Jesus Christ, who's the exact nature and representation of God, teaching what happens to people in eternity. And besides, Abraham says, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed. So those who wish to come over from here to you won't be able to. They can't come over here. It's forever. It's done. There's no spending your time in there and getting, and okay, now it's all over. Come up to paradise. Uh-uh. Between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed so that those who wish to come over from here to you won't be able to. And none may cross over from there to us. And he said, well, I beg you, Father, send them to my father's house. If I have five brothers, in order to warn them that they don't come to this place of torment. But he says, Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. This is a tough verse. This is a tough word. He's talking to somebody that I'm sure would have called himself a Jew who loved money. Again, we're right in the same chapter. Loved money, loved money, loved money, loved money. All right? He says, look, he's the son of Abraham, and he had the law and the prophets. So what does that tell you about the identity of this person, this rich man? Abraham said, look, we don't need to warn anybody. They have the law, they have the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. Hello? Is this not the story of the people that call themselves Jews? They have the law, they have the prophets. They reject the law. They reject the prophets. They reject Moses. Even when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, they won't believe. Jesus Christ says elsewhere, he says, listen, on that day, he says, I'm not going to be your accuser. Moses will be your accuser. This is tough. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to understand who he's talking to. It's not hard to understand it. It's just hard to accept it. He's looking at the offspring of Abraham, who had the law and the prophets. He's in agony for eternity in hell. He can never cross to the other side. And there is no other way. There is no other way than Jesus Christ. He's saying, please tell my brothers, warn them. I got five more. Warn them not to come here. If somebody goes from there, they won't. And they said, no. You're wrong. I'm not sending Lazarus. Somebody will rise from the dead, and it's Jesus Christ. But if they didn't believe the Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe Jesus Christ who rises from the dead. And indeed, that is the case, with very few exceptions. Chapter 17. It's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea, then he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Okay? That's a word to Jeffrey Epstein. That's a word to his sidekick, Maxwell, another Jew, whose father was with the Israeli Jewish Mossad. And it's a warning to Bill Gates, and a warning to all those rich and famous people. Ophrah, apparently she was there too. They're causing these little kids to stumble. You're better off jumping overboard with an anchor tied around your neck than to go through it because you destroyed these kids. Okay, and guess what? That's going to go for all the teachers that are teaching trainingism to these kids. Man, you're better off jumping overboard with an anchor around your neck than to destroy these kids. Don't give me your acceptance and tolerance. No, you're destroying them. Teachers, principals, parents that are helping your child, quote unquote, transition. You never change their DNA. You never change their genetics. You never change their blood. They're either XY or they're XX. And you're going to butcher them and fill them with chemicals and call it good? Let me tell you something about yourself. It's inevitable that you come, you stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him. It would be better for you, teacher, pastor, father, mother, counselor, colleague, friend, quote unquote friend. It would be better if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea, then he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. All right, verse 7, chapter 17 of Luke. Talking about slaves here. Talking about slaves, and we're talking about the character and nature of Jesus Christ. What is Jesus Christ like? Well, he's talking about slavery. Which of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he's come in from the field, come immediately and sit down and eat? Okay, this really goes to the heart of how we identify Jesus Christ today in 2023 as the evangelical church. Jesus said this, y'all got a slave? Are you really going to say, hey, man, you've had a hard day at work, come in and sit down and eat? Are you really going to say that? But he says, won't you say to him, actually prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you may come and eat and drink. This is Jesus Christ teaching this. And the evangelical church has it 100% opposite. 100% opposite. Oh, Jesus will meet your needs. Jesus will take care of you. Trust Jesus. He's going to meet all your needs. And we treat Jesus Christ as our personal fairy godmother, as our personal servant and slave to meet all our needs. Jesus Christ says it's exactly the opposite. Which of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he's come in from the field, come in immediately and sit down and eat? Won't you say to him, prepare something for me to eat properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards, then you can eat and drink? He does not thank the slave. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is a hard lesson. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. All I am is a servant. All I am is a slave. A lot of versions of the Bible don't like the word slave. They say, oh, it's a bond servant. No, you're slave. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which are commanded to him, does he? Christian, you're supposed to be a slave to Jesus Christ and stop complaining about your hard life. So you too, when you do all the things that you are commanded, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. I'm preaching to myself, man. I'm preaching to myself. Oh, God's going to meet all your needs. False gospel. False gospel. All right. Keep going. Here's about Lot's wife. It will be just the same way that when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, one who is in the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Stop trying to hold on to the stuff that doesn't matter. Jesus Christ says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. And let me tell you something. This is a struggle all our lives. I've gone through times when, man, I'm trying to hold on to my life as much as I can. Asking God, baptize my life, baptize my money. I want to do me. I can't do this slave stuff anymore. Believe me, been there, done that. It's not a pretty picture. And Jesus says, listen, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. All right. Chapter 19, Book of Luke. A nobleman, think Jesus Christ, went into a distant kingdom to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. He called 10 of his slaves. Okay, we just learned about slaves. We're 10 of his slaves. Think of you and I, Christian. We're slaves. Sorry, we haven't been promoted yet. Jesus Christ learned obedience by suffering to the point of death. He begged God the Father to spare him from that. God said, no. You're going to go to the cross and you're going to be tortured to death. Oh, surely God would have saved his own son from being tortured. No, no. And then you and I are called to follow him and pick up a cross. All right, so he's talking to us when he's talking about slaves. He called 10 slaves. Those of us that have lifted our hands and said we're going to serve Jesus Christ whether we live or we die. And he gave them 10 minas and said, do business until I come back. But his citizens hated him. Notice there's a difference between us. In Roman times, you were a citizen or a slave. You couldn't be both. Roman citizen was not a slave. All right? All Roman citizens were free. So now he's talking about a different group. The citizens, who's he talking to? You know exactly who he's talking to. Hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. We don't want him to reign over us. The people that were already citizens of the kingdom said, we reject this nobleman. We reject this king. Utterly reject him. When he returned to receive the kingdom, okay, he calls the slaves to account. Okay? And those that were faithful get more. But here's this one guy. He says, Master, here's your single mina, which I kept in a handkerchief. And he offers him some word salad here. He says, oh, I'm so afraid of you. He's trying to justify himself. For I was afraid of you because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. Okay, he's trying to make an excuse and justify his unfaithfulness. Jesus Christ said to him, he said, look, by your own words I will judge you. You worthless slave. You worthless slave. You are a worthless slave. Don't be a worthless slave. Again, preaching to myself. Did you not know that I'm an exacting man, taking up which I did not lay down and reaping which I did not sow? And he says to the bystanders, take the mine away from him and give it to one who has more. Now, this offends the modern mind greatly. It offends the mind of 2,000 years greatly. And they said to him, but master, he's got 10 already. He's got plenty. Can't he share? Again, this goes to the character and heart and nature of the identity of Jesus Christ. He's not a Buddhist Christian. He's not a socialist Christian. Jesus says, I tell you that everyone who has more shall be given, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Okay, now he's referring back to the citizens in verse 27, and then we'll close with this. These enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence. I'm telling you guys, Jesus Christ, we trying to make him, oh, he's a nice guy. He just loves everybody. These people that were citizens, they already had the whole thing. Children of Abraham, they rejected me. Bring them into my presence and slaughter them. All right, that's it. Fritz Berger, BloodandFaith.com.